The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" And they said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God has made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined together as husband and wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. It is such to these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
As the congregation is seated, I invite my young friends forward for a children's message. If there are 26 sheep and one goes away, how many are left?
25.
Okay, so Jacob said 25. There are 26 sheep and one goes away, how many are left?
25.
25? Wrong. I said if there were 20 sick sheep and one went away, how many are left? The answer is 19. I didn't say six, I said sick. All right, let's try this again. If there are 26 sheep and one goes away, how many are left?
19.
No, I said 26 sheep. S-I-X, not S-I-C-K. What am I doing to you guys? What am I trying to do? What's the word? I'm trying to trick you. That's right. And if you say 25, I'm going to say go 20, sit, and say 19. And if you say 19, I'm going to say 25. You've never heard this before? Your father must tell you you got riddles. Okay. All right. So, what I'm doing here is I'm tricking you guys, right? Whatever you say, I'm going to try to get you in trouble and come up with the other thing. But today in our gospel text, I'm not really tricking you. And as in other gospels lately, there's a group of people called the Pharisees. Have you ever heard that name before?
No.
They're the Pharisees. And they're trying to trick Jesus. That's right. The Pharisees are trying to trick Jesus, and they're trying to get him in trouble. They're trying to get him to say something that will get him arrested. Yeah. It's kind of scary. Well, Jesus does get arrested because the Pharisees keep trying all sorts of things, but they're trying all the time to get Jesus in trouble. They're trying to trick him. And the story we heard today, which talks about really grown-up things, was another example of where the Pharisees were trying to trick Jesus. But is Jesus smarter than everybody?
Yeah.
Because Jesus is God, right? And Jesus knew everything, and Jesus knew what these Pharisees were doing. Well, sometimes, even in our world, people try to be tricky. Sometimes they try to be mean. Sometimes they put up pictures that aren't real. All sorts of things. And we have to remember that we're not supposed to be tricksters. We're supposed to tell the truth and be honest in all we do, right?
Right?
That we're supposed to be honest in all we do. And that when people try to trick in the world, that we need to speak up, right? Okay, so don't be tricksters. You can trick or treat on Halloween, but don't be tricksters. Can we remember this? All right, let's say a prayer. Good morning, God. Thank you for this day.
Thank you for this day.
And thank you for Jesus. We will bottle their energy and sell it after church. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As some of you may know, this past week I started a new journey, which is going to be a wonderful source of continuing education for me in connection to the community. I'm part of the 2018-19 Leadership Winston-Salem new class. Leadership Winston-Salem is a phenomenal program that's been around in the community for a while that every year brings in 64 students to bring in folks from nonprofits and from the community government, from the hospitals, from the corporations, all who are all serving a common purpose to connect a community which has so much to share with one another and to find those places where needs need to be met and to identify and serve those. So this past week, I had a wonderful opportunity to be in retreat with the other 63 of us who will this year grow and learn about education and government and public safety and how we as the people of Augsburg can live out that call to outreach by finding new ways to connect with our brothers and sisters throughout Winston and Forsyth County. But if you're going to be that intimate and working on these types of projects, it takes some team building time. And so last Wednesday, 64 of us spent the day in team building exercises. When it was still cool in the morning, we were outside and we had blindfolds on for some activities and trying to untie knots with one hand for another and all sorts of those things to just build up teams. And after lunch, when we needed to cool down for a little while, we found ourselves in this room where there were 8 tables with 8 chairs each, and divided into these 8 teams, we had what we thought was a rather simple task, because there on each table was a puzzle box with a 100-piece puzzle inside. So one table had chihuahuas, and another had kittens with sunglasses, and another had beach balls and bicycles. Our table had Spider-Man. Just 100-piece puzzles that kids would usually do, and the objective was to get your puzzle done. But of course, there's going to be more than that. These boxes had already been opened, and what we discovered as we emptied the contents onto our table was that only about 50 of those pieces belonged to Spider-Man. The other 50 were around the room at different tables, as we had 50 other pieces that belonged to those 7 tables. And so our objective was simply to talk and barter and figure out how to completely get all the pieces for our table. Now, you all know darn well that on my team, I didn't sit at the table and put together the puzzle. They sent my big mouth out to talk and trade. So I went out with a handful of puzzles, identifying other tables, and slowly, one by one, getting a Spider-Man piece in exchange for their chihuahua or their beach ball, and going from place to place. And I got to this table in the corner where this gentleman had already taken 3 pieces of Spider-Man's foot, connected, and said, "Look what I have for you." And all I said was, "I've only got 1 piece of your chihuahua." This is adult conversation, right? And he said, "Well, I need 3 of my chihuahuas for 3 of your Spider-Man, so come back later." So I went from table to table looking for other chihuahuas and couldn't find them anywhere. And then finally got back over to that table and knew that I wasn't going to win with him. So while he had walked off to another place, I pointed to a single place within the middle of the chihuahua's body and said, "Look, I have that piece. But your buddy on your team has been holding 3 of Spider-Man's feet for quite a long time now, and I can't give this to you until I get that." And they all looked at him and said, "Give him Spider-Man." This is how adults talk to each other. So for my 1 piece of their chihuahua, I got 3 pieces of the Spider-Man, and we finally got back to our table and got our puzzle done. After the exercise, that gentleman came up to me and he said, "Man, your dealing style was shrewd. What do you do for a living?" I'm a Lutheran pastor. And he said, "I wasn't expecting that." When we build up this idea, this expectation that I had created for this gentleman, and the idea that I was some sort of work that would have shrewd practices and techniques, and then he learned what I really did, it changed his expectations. It shattered everything that he had put in place. And so often in lives, we find ourselves having an expectation or an understanding of something that might not be the fullness of the reality. And my friends, I think that's what we have to acknowledge today as we dig into these texts, which come every 3 years in our lectionary. where we're here today addressing a very sensitive topic, not only in Jesus' time, but in our time as well. For the word appeared again and again for a topic that is sensitive to so many of us: divorce. Pastor Lori and I are aware that many of you have been through separation and divorce. That some of you are within that challenging time right now, and that others deep within your hearts have thought about it. Relationships aren't easy, and there are challenges, and sometimes the brokenness of the world gets the best of us in the midst of all that. And so if we're going to talk about something that is so sensitive in our lives, even if it's not our own, it's happened to somebody that we love or work with or care for, because it is a part of life in the world around us. But these texts aren't exactly as what they appear. It's like the relationship between me and the Chihuahua guy. There's something deeper that has to be understood and explained so that we can really see the fullness of what God is doing here. And to understand that even in the struggles of life, that God is at work in ways beyond our imagination, which we might just be able to grasp in a first hearing of this text. And so I want to take a little time today to peel things back a little bit, to look deeper at two of our four texts, and to understand exactly what we're talking about here and how this impacts who we are, how it impacts our lives when we've been through brokenness of relationship, divorce or otherwise, in any sort of relationship that has struggled, and then what that means for us as God's children. So before we can talk about the text that Jesus found himself engaged in the Gospel of Mark, we have to go back to the one that he quoted from the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter 2, is the second version of the creation story. It's presented in two different ways. One is the 7 days of creation that we're used to, and the other one is the second version, which puts everything into a little bit tighter space and emphasizes the human relationship of God's creation story. And that's the text that we have today. That's this text where we hear these familiar words that God did not want human, represented in this story by the character of Adam, to be alone. And God felt it fitting for this person to have, as the words say, a helper and a partner. But one of the things that has happened over time and at different times and in the life of reading and interpreting this is helper has often been understood as something subservient, as something less. That is not what the original understanding of this Hebrew text is all about. Because like so many Hebrew words, it takes a lot of English to get in one Hebrew word, as we've discovered as we look at other contexts, for example, Navi and spokesperson. So when we look at this as helper and partner, that's really one word in Hebrew that really better ought be explained as companion. Someone to share in the journey with. And so when God intended for two to be in journey with one another, and for Adam to not be alone, this gift of companion and blessing that the Hebrew really draws out is not talking about levels, but rather partnership that is rooted in this. And that was the original understanding of what it meant to be in relationship with one another. And that while companionship throughout the ages has often been emphasized in the gift of marriage, what we also need to understand is companionship is not just rooted in marriage. For not everybody marries, and companionship is found in different relationships in life and friendship and in community of faith. Not everybody marries, but everybody is blessed with God's gift of companionship. So I think that's an important understanding that we need to take back from the earliest understanding of relationship. As long before any time in the world when there were all these other things added to relationship, this gift of companionship was God's original gift to us. And that's what Jesus references when he turns back to this Genesis text in the gospel story today. But now the other thing that we need to realize as we fast forward back to that gospel text is that this conversation that Jesus was having with the Pharisees was not so much rooted in the concept of divorce, but it was their next attempt at getting Jesus in trouble. This is part of a long line of stories, a lot of ways that Jesus is encountering the Pharisees, and they're going to try to figure out whatever way they can to trick him, to get him in trouble, so that they can diminish this authority that he is sharing in his teachings and in his healings and in his relationships with the people. The Pharisees are threatened by all this, and so they go place to place trying to figure out how they're going to get him. Divorce just so happens to be the topic this week that they are using in their endeavor. So as we look at this and as we discover this, I think one of the things that's really important to understand is that the Greek word that the Pharisees use to describe divorce is apostasion, which doesn't so much mean the separation of a relationship, but is more translated as the discarding of an item. That's what the Pharisees are bringing forth. Just as you would discard an item when you're done with it, that's the word that they're drawing out in the Greek here to understand this text. And so one of the things that we have to understand is that the Pharisees present this story. They're presenting a first century hierarchical understanding that marriage was business, and that the bride definitely didn't have much opinion, and oftentimes the groom didn't have much either, but two families would bring together a couple so that they could be strengthened, so that their flock could be bigger, so that their influence could be larger. And that was part of an understanding of first century relationships. The bride didn't have any say, the groom didn't often have much, but it was an understanding of bringing people together in a hierarchical setting for the purpose of being in some sort of almost business relationship between families. And so when we get this word that the Pharisees use and they talk about divorce, they're not talking about separating a couple who just doesn't connect with each other. They're talking about the dissolvement of a business transaction. And so when Jesus is confronted with this, this is not what Jesus is going to talk about. Jesus goes back to that Genesis understanding of relationships being rooted in compassion and care for one another, not for being rooted in how it benefits the other person's father. And that's why Jesus is so quick to return to that text to help them understand that all of this you're asking about divorce is not because you have intentions of figuring out what's best for this couple, but because of your heart and hearts and what that means in carrying this out for one another. So knowing all this now, how does that apply to a very different definition of divorce in our lives today? I think the first thing that we have to acknowledge is that any broken relationship is hard. And that broken relationships don't just happen. There is time, there is outside influences, there is internal struggle that is all rooted in that. And I want to be careful not to just talk about marriage, but to understand how relationships break in different parts of our lives as well. The friend who you've held on to for so long, who for some reason just doesn't connect anymore. The relationships that you might have had with clients or other individuals that you've deeply cared about over the years, which is now in a different context. The way that relationships change between the time that little ones are young and they grow older and go off and do their own thing. The way that we as a church sometimes are in community with one set of people for a while, but then find more community in another. Relationships are fluid and ongoing, and while we value the gift and sanctity of marriage, we understand that there is challenge that comes with this. And so our challenge, when we recognize this, and when we're called to support our sisters and brothers who are going through difficult time and broken relationships, especially when it pertains to the dissolvement of a marriage, is to recognize that God doesn't call us to be critical Pharisees. Rather, God invites us to be additional companions on the journey and to support and care for one another and our sisters and brothers in Christ when those hardest parts of their lives hit. And there was no clearer example of that than what Mark, the author of this gospel, did with the text from that moment on. But first, I want to go back to Wednesday, because as much as me and the guy holding on to my pieces and other people around the room were working around the room, finagling and trying to get the pieces for what they needed, there was this woman who had this big handful of puzzle pieces that she'd scooped up off her table and that she'd grabbed off a few other tables as well that had just been discarded and off to the side. She was not going around trying to bargain. Rather, she simply had all these pieces in her hand and said, "Oh, here, I have this for you, and I have this for you, and I have this for you." They had already finished their puzzle, and so her goal was to walk around and without any sort of benefit to her, just continue to hand out the pieces that were missing, including Spider-Man's web. That's all she did. She just walked around and gave. We didn't ask. There were no conditions. There was nothing that benefited her. She just took all these puzzle pieces and went from one table to another, giving us the holes that we had. Oh my gosh, if that's not an imagery of God's grace in our lives, what is? Because there is nothing that fills the holes in our lives, the missing pieces, the things that we long to have, than God's grace and God's love for us and God's promises made known to us through Jesus Christ in the world. And so when Jesus is in the world and with his disciples and they're in a home and the disciples still want clarification on everything the Pharisees were asked about, at that same moment there's some children who are trying to weave their way forward to Jesus. Because they know the power of touching the Savior. And the disciples, who are all worked up after this tense argument with the Pharisees, try to sternly push them away. But what does Jesus say? No, let these children come to me, for it is them that the kingdom of God belongs. And in that moment, Jesus is handing out the puzzle pieces to everyone, not because they've earned them or deserve them or they're upright, but because they're children of God. And that's the most powerful thing that we can remember today, that we'll sing in a moment, that we are children of the Heavenly Father. And that no matter how complicated our lives get, no matter how broken they become, no matter how we struggle with relationships or long to be in a relationship that might never happen, that the relationship that we have with God through Christ Jesus is whole and fills the pieces. And that's why we share in Christian community. That's why we don't do this business of being Christians alone, because we need one another to walk and support with one another on the journey. And if you still feel like there's pieces missing, talk to us and find ways that we can get better fit into this life of faith and how we can support and encourage one another in this community that God blesses us in. And then to recognize that no matter what, we are children, and that these pieces that fill us come from God. Pieces of bread and sips of wine that we receive when we come forward and receive the never-ending sacrament of Holy Communion, an ongoing promise each week of what God has given us, the forgiveness of our sins and life everlasting and a companionship beyond measure here on earth. The world is going to be hard. And there are going to be tough topics like the one that appear in our gospel text today. But the most powerful reminder that we have is no matter how adult and complicated our world gets, to God we are children. And God claims us as children in our baptisms and in our lives. And whether you're 2 or 22 or 92, you are still a child to God. Let them come to the kingdom, for it is these that we all belong. Thanks be to God. Amen.